Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Happy Wednesday. We'll catch up with Jonathan Hutton in 1 hour. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow. We'll get Hutton's thoughts on some stories that we've heard coming out of rookie minicamp. So that'll be in 1 hour. But happy NFL schedule release day.
Absolutely. Oh, joy. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. And I can't wait. Well,
Win, loss, win, loss.
Of course we're going to do
know who they play. We could have did the win, loss a long time ago because we know the teams that they play. But I guess, obviously, we don't know if they're home or away. So that may tilt
the scale. We do know if they're home or away. We just don't know when it is.
We know who's at home and who's away, but we don't know when it is. So we should have did the win, loss. Sort of.
So you're saying we're behind?
Exercise. Yeah, we are behind. We should have did the win-loss exercise and sort of put it in our scroll and just put it to the side.
The week scrolls.
Exactly. And then brought it back up when we needed to.
But I do think it matters when you play a team.
Yeah.
Like, I hear so many people say, schedule. Who cares about the schedule? And look, like there are more important things going on in the world than the NFL schedule. But like the Titans play the Bills on the road.
Yeah,
I feel much better about the Titans playing the Bills on September 8th than I do on December 22nd.
It is different. Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily better. It's hard. Like you'd have to go back and look through the years. Do the Bills play better at home in December? Depends on if we're talking about a good Bills team or a bad Bills team.
It does depend on, is Will Levis going to be a cold weather quarterback? Because he's from Connecticut. He went to Penn State for a few years. Like
exactly.
Ryan Tannehill from Florida and Texas and Tennessee, small hands a hill, couldn't really hold his own in the cold in Buffalo and outside New York.
These are all the variables.
Yes.
And I think it definitely can have, it definitely is significant in real time, but there's no way to predict, is the quarterback injured in Week 11, your opponent, right? That changes everything.
Of course.
But from a weather standpoint, it's better to go into Buffalo now rather than, October, November, December, January.
But the way the Bills throw the ball now, could you argue that, that they haven't really had a good running game? Like, do they throw it better in December than they do in September?
I don't know, but you're getting them.
I'd be curious under the Josh Allen years.
But
had
you
they
would
played
be
better in
them,
colder weather.
You would be getting them early enough. I'm just looking at it from this season.
I'm just questioning whether
does he throw better in
it's
cold
definitely
weather
different
or warm.
Because when you play in December, you can expect nastiness. Uh-huh. And
you
in September,
should expect.
Not
you
so much nasty.
Yeah, it's not going to be a nice, breezy 70-degree day in Buffalo in December. And the other aspect, too, because the weather absolutely is a factor, if it's at least an outdoor team, it's also when does the bye come? When does the bye come for you, and when does the bye come for the teams on your schedule? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to play the Houston Texans coming off of a Texans bye after you just played the Cincinnati Bengals, like, that's a much different situation than you playing, a really good team after they, the Jags have back-to-back weeks in London. Mm-hmm. I would expect that the Jags have a bye after 2 weeks in London. But if the Titans get the Jags after two back-to-back weeks in London, well, then great. I'll take my chances rather than coming off of a bye.
I'll take it then, too, because they would have been, basically, it was a home game, but it was an away game because they had to travel. Didn't Jacksonville have two games last year in London?
They did.
Interesting.
There's a reason why they have two international games this year again. Mm-hmm. I read that this morning. Worth noting that amid stadium negotiations in Jacksonville. Maybe.
In Jacksonville? I think maybe.
They have stadium negotiations in Jacksonville. The Jags are playing two games in London for the second consecutive year. Contracted home game at Wembley. The owner of the Jags owns the stadium in London. That's what it is. And
so
stadium
he's basically playing his stadium for free. He's playing
Shad
his
Khan.
Stadium for free. Yeah.
Exactly. It's basically just,
I want to take it to my summer house.
Cross promote.
Hey, let's go play at my summer house. Across the pond.
We'll have some tea after the game.
Exactly. Let's go play at my summer house.
We're going to spend October in London, and then we'll come back to Jacksonville in November. We're going to be snowbirds throughout the football season.
Oh, man.
So we do know two games so far. We do know that week two is at home against the Jets. Mm-hmm. So Aaron Rodgers coming into town. And then week eight at Detroit.
We assume Aaron Rodgers is coming into town.
Yeah, I mean, we made that assumption last year. Exactly. Maybe it was too big of an assumption.
Exactly. So, those two games, you know, specifically, I'm sure they will be well anticipated games, especially Aaron Rodgers coming here to Nashville. But I would like, you know, moving forward, where are the other games played? Not necessarily played, but when?
When?
Yeah, not necessarily where, but when. That's going to be interesting. So, but I mean, you know, this team, this is a good. I believe this team has improved. We'll be able to better see it, obviously, once they start practicing and start getting into 2-a-days in preseason. But I think it's much improved. And I think it's going to be a surprise season for the Titans. I really do. I think they've upgraded
good
in
surprise
areas.
Or bad surprise?
I think good surprise. I think they've upgraded in areas they needed to upgrade. Now, they still need depth, and they still need other players, but I think at the positions that we were concerned about last year, that was an Achilles heel for them last year, the positions, they seem to, at this point, upgrade it at those positions, left tackle, center, two corners. You
receiver.
Get the depth, you know, at running back, some more depth at running back, receiver. So it seems like those areas that were a concern last season, it seemed like they addressed them right now. Mm-hmm. They've addressed them with some good players. So I think this is going to, barring injury, I think this is going to be a surprise season in a good way for the Titans.
I don't know if I can get that optimistic yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think there is a path to this Titans team not being horrendous. Like I was talking to Robbie and Rex Road, I think this was last week, and I was on with them on Tuesday morning. I said, look, I think 9-8 could be a possibility.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the ceiling for this team, but 9-8, you might get in the playoffs. 9-8, you might just barely miss the playoffs. But if you told me today and you gave me zero context as to what happened in the season and just said, hey, today I'm going to tell you that the Titans go 9-8 this season, are you okay with that? I'd probably take that.
I would take it, sure.
It all depends on how the Titans look.
That's the question.
Totally.
To
and
me.
How does the quarterback look?
Exactly.
Because where are they going? It's 9-8 is not going to get you where you want to go ultimately. So are you in the direction of getting to something better? The Titans had four consecutive 9-7s, a couple of which they made the playoffs and a couple they didn't. But they did break through on the other side and have a couple division titles and et cetera. So that's my question. I'm not as worried about the record. I've been on record, and I will continue to be saying this is more I'm looking to see what I've got kind of year. If you win, I'm not going to sneeze at that. That's great. If they don't, I want to see what are we building towards. Mm-hmm. Where is Levis going? How is the line coming along? What does my team look like 2 years down the road? Or, you know, not just this year, but next year, right? Because you can't rebuild for 4 years. Nobody wants to do that, especially in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But you've got to be building a nucleus. You've got to be building a nucleus of something that can be better, right? If it's if it's a veteran team that overachieves to go 9-8, well, that's okay. But what does that mean for the next year, right? As Hopkins is a year older, as Ridley's a year older. You know, how can you sustain?
Boyd's
another good example of a guy that's hoping to get a good year out of him this year. But what happens the following year? What are you? Because I think the roster in the middle, the developmental pieces of your draft picks and stuff, that's the huge question, right? And it may not translate to a lot of wins. So I'm not that worried if they're 9-8, 8-9, 7-10. 9-8, maybe it's 50-50 you make the playoffs. Like, how many 9-8 teams make the playoffs? How many don't? In the 17-game schedule, I'm not as familiar with that. It's maybe 50% at the most, I would say.
It depends, too. You know, is the AFC going to be super dominant?
Right,
or is the AFC going to
cannibalize
itself?
All of those things that you don't know.
9-8, I think today I could say, is very much so a toss-up. You make the playoffs or you don't. The reason why the record would matter to me is because I know that we can debate this all day long, but I do view to a certain extent quarterback – or excuse me, wins are a quarterback stat. And if you are, let's say, 4-13, well, that would lead me to believe that Will Levis didn't play very well. And if you're 9-8, well, that would give me encouragement that Will Levis is playing better, that he's doing the things that he needs to do in order to win. Now, what does that 9-8 look like? Because I think that 9-8, 8-9 kind of gray area, mushy middle could mean, completely different things. That maybe the defense just completely bails you out of games when Will Levis looks horrendous, and maybe that 9-8 is a little bit misleading. Or maybe it's the opposite, where Will Levis is absolutely balling and the defense is horrendous because you can't get to the quarterback and DeVondre Sweat can't stay a certain weight and the defense really lets you down. You know,
Let's tie it to the schedule. The schedule can be a factor in whether you're 9-8 or 7-10. Because of some things that just might fall in your lap. I would use the Colts last year. They got their quarterback hurt early. They did a very good job to be competitive. But I would say some things fell into line for them, to help them. First of all, Gardner Minshew, to his credit, played pretty well. I thought they sort of maxed out what they had.
Yeah.
But I think they, if you take a look at who they beat, they mostly beat the bad teams. They had some things fall into line for them.
And in 2022, think about the Jags made the playoffs because the Titans had an epic collapse.
Oh, yes.
And lost 7 games in a row. So sometimes there are things out of your control that really help you out in the long run. But, in the opposite way, if the Titans go 4-13, Will Levis probably didn't play very well. You probably have a top 5, top 8 pick, and you might be thinking about taking a quarterback. You go 13-4, I don't think that's going to happen. But then that means, to me, Will Levis is playing very well, and you do have a little bit more of a definitive answer of what you want to do moving forward. It's that 8-9, 9-8 mushy middle, but even that 8-9, 9-8 might be a little bit of a reach for where this team is at right now. Because let's be honest, you don't have safety.
Nah,
you need to pick up a safety.
Yeah.
You probably need maybe a little bit more depth at inside linebacker. You don't know who's playing right tackle. You still don't know. Will Levis still very much so is a question mark. And a lot of these things are wait and see kind of things, especially Will Levis. And as we go throughout this next round of free agency, the Titans are going to pick up a safety. It's just a matter of who and it's a matter of when. So where we believe this team can go and how we believe this team can be this upcoming season, a lot of it really is wait and see. And that's an uncomfortable place to be in as a fan.
Yeah.
You want to know.
Yeah, you want to know. And unfortunately, because of what has happened to this franchise over the last, 4 or 5 years, meaning depth-wise, and not, some guys not panning out. I don't care who, regardless of who drafted them, they just didn't pan out. Now they're in a situation where, you just don't know going into the season whether, you're going to have a record that is going to put you in the playoffs or not. Ironically, 9-8 is not going to get you in the playoffs. 8-9 is definitely not going to get you in the playoffs. Last year, 9-8 didn't get anyone in the playoffs last year. The year before that, I think it got two teams in the playoff before that in 2022. In 2021, I don't think there was any team – there was one team, they were 9-7-1, that made the playoffs.
So
with a 9-7,
so in the
9-8.
In the 17
that's the AFC.
Schedule.
That's in the AFC. I'm just talking the AFC. I'm not talking the NFC. And this is when they changed. Well, last year they made it 18. Was it 18 games last
17.
Year? 17 last year. So
it's been is this the third year coming up?
I think 21
was
the first
year of the.
2020 was the final year of 16.
So
games.
21 was the, so since 21. Teams with 9-8 records don't.
It's
make,
not. It's not
it's,
as easy.
Yeah, it's not as easy.
So it's less than 50%.
Yeah,
nine
it's less than 50%.
Easily.
You got to win at least 10 games to have the security of getting in the playoffs. 9-8, you still on the outside looking in. You just hope your division, your division is not good. Like 2 years ago. The Titans division wasn't good, and Jacksonville ended up winning it at 9-7, I think. But 9-7, 8-9, it's not going to get you there.
Right.
10 wins is push. It's like it's going to barely get you there. You got to win at least 10 games to have that security of okay. There's more likely than not we're going to make the playoffs.
And would you put money on the Titans winning 10 games right now?
I would not. And,
I would
but
not.
That's okay. That shouldn't surprise anybody. This is a rebuilding
team. I got them in between 8 7 to 10 wins. I got him in between
and
seven and ten.
Wins.
Yeah, that's the big gap.
Very
exactly.
But what we say, that's
but
the
how
NFL.
Does it look?
That's the NFL. That's the, yeah. You're going to have probably 6 or 7 games that come down to a field goal, one possession.
Oh,
most teams do. And the Titans rode a great stretch that we documented a lot, where Vrabel's teams seemed to have a great knack of winning the close games, and that dried up the last couple years. So that's another thing. Oh, you know, one kick. Right, making the kick at the end of the game and missing it, or the other team making it or missing it, can be the difference between 8-9, 9-8, or 7-10, 9-8. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is, it's such a razor's edge league. But you're asking, I think, the key question: how does Levis look at the end of the season?
That's the thing.
How does
that's
your team? How does your roster look at the end of the season? How are the young players coming along? How many holes? How many less holes do you have to fill next offseason, as opposed to this offseason, where you had to go shopping at every mall, every store, and try to find help because you desperately needed help because you didn't draft very well in the prior regime, or at least you didn't in the last couple years of the prior regime. That's how. That's what you're trying to build towards. You're trying to build towards a team that can win. Now, in the meantime, building a winning culture, that's important, right? That's so like a 4-13. You might. I'm not saying the record doesn't matter, right? Because 4-13, does the team know how to win?
Is your quarterback
playing well? Were you decimated with injuries? Why is it 4-13? Because in a perfect world, you may not be a great team, but if you've got a foundation that you're building, that's important for a new head coach.
And injuries are always going to be a caveat for every team, every player in any league. And it's just something that's completely out of your control. But that is one of my big fears for the Titans this season, is either this team gets so and obviously that's going to be a concern every year, is that this team gets so decimated with injury, knock on wood, or that
that's
quarterback
what's
gets injured, knock on wood, and then we don't get any closer to an answer to the number one question that I think is surrounding this franchise, and that is Will Levis your quarterback of the future? Because how can you answer that question if Will Levis doesn't have anyone to throw to, or if Will Levis is on the bench, again, knocking on all of the wood in this room, if Will Levis is on the bench because he tore his ACL in week 3?
Yeah, well, you've as we sit right now, they've added weapons to help this young quarterback succeed. There's the way I look at it, there's no excuse for him other than, you know, second year sort of, you know, progression, or, you know, getting that maturity in your second year. And I understand that still can be a task for him because he didn't play the whole season. You know, he got hurt. He played some. He got hurt. So he didn't really get into a rhythm, you know, I'm sure the way he wanted to. So this second year is going to be critical for him. But I think they've set it up for him that he should, the numbers, even though numbers don't tell everything, the numbers should look good because of the people he's throwing it to. If he doesn't have a good season, then, yeah, we need to question. Because you've set him up with 3 guys and hopefully a 4th with Traylon. You set him up with 3 guys that have played a lot of football, that have won a lot of games, that have been on winning teams, that have made clutch plays in this league. So they understand it. Especially, they understand playing with a young quarterback, too. D-Hop played with a young quarterback. 2 of them. Boyd played with a young quarterback. Calvin Ridley played with a young quarterback. So all these guys understand what it takes to play with a young quarterback and how much you got to make sure you're on your game with the young quarterback. Because what you don't want to do is lose the trust. I've always talked about this, not being where you're supposed to be. The late Mike Hammerdane would tell me all the time, just be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. That's it. That's all the quarterback cares about. Well, that's the thing that they have to make sure that they get with Will Levis. That trust that I'm going to be right where I need to be, Will. Just throw the football. So to me, this is going to be a big season for Will because they set the table for him already to go out and at least have a good season because of the players they put in place. D-Hop, Boyd, Ridley, you got Pollard in the backfield. You went and got, you know, Cushenberry at center. So that should help you immensely. Mm-hmm. You went and drafted your left tackle. You got Skoronski for another year, you know, a second year. You got to build up the right side. I understand that. But they are putting everything in place so you don't have an excuse. That's just the way I look at it. Now, are these guys in the prime of their career? No, they're not. But they're still all good players that can help a young quarterback. So if he doesn't mature, I look at this the same way I looked at my first year with Joe Flacco. They brought in all these veteran guys. Why? To help out the young quarterback. So the young, you brought in guys that were from winning organizations, guys that have made plays in this league, put them on a team. You allow the young quarterback to grow. Joe matured and he got better because he had those veteran guys to lean on. Mm-hmm. He had trust in us that we were going to catch the ball, be where we're supposed to be, and more importantly, be available for him when he needed us. Yeah. Like, be available each and every game. That's what they're trying to do here in Nashville, is to set him up with some veteran guys, guys that haven't missed much many games, which they all haven't other than Ridley, and I don't understand why. And then D-Hop, he got suspended too. But other than that, when it's talking about injuries, they hadn't missed much because of injuries. Tyler Boyd has, knock on wood. But you're trying to set him up with a veteran group so he has no excuses. He doesn't have to carry the team. Mm-hmm. You just need to deliver the ball. You just need to orchestrate all this. That's all you need to do.
Because I think we would all like to know at the end of this mm-hmm. season, is Will Levis your quarterback of the future or not?
And that's why they set all this up the way that they did.
After next season, you have to know.
Yeah, you have
to. You have to know. You don't get the privilege of a fifth-year option with Will Levis. Mm-hmm. You don't get as much time to figure out, is this really our guy, if you would have drafted him in the first round. You have to know at the end of year three. And I think that we'd all like a little bit more clarity at the end of year two. Mm-hmm. Because, again, if they're picking top five, top seven, top eight, might be a quarterback in there that you could take. And is that the direction that this franchise decides to go in? It's a big year for Will Levis. I don't think it's an accident.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And this changes, right? But haven't we heard a lot that this is not a great quarterback crop coming up through the ranks?
This upcoming season, yeah.
That's what I heard a lot of, but
that's what they're saying.
And that changes every year. Exactly. Because last year, I know this time last year, we were talking about the Caleb Williams and Drake May draft. Nobody was talking about Jaden Daniels as an elite quarterback prospect. Fast
sure,
forward
we're
to now,
talking about Knicks and McCarthy being first round picks.
Not, you know, in the slightest.
Like, next year is going to be like 1983 with their sixth quarterback. I didn't hear a whole lot of that.
No,
right
now I think it's
so
the Ewers and Carson Beck draft. But again, things change. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. A little schedule leak news.
Uh-oh.
Week 11. November 17th, Titans hosting the Vikings.
I predict a tie in that game.
Oh, a juicy prediction from you, Willie.
A tie.
Wow. J.J. McCarthy.
There's
going to
be a T
town.
On my little scroll here. W-L-L-W-W-W-W. T. Week 11.
Week 11. Tie with the Vikings. Okay, so we've got week 2 hosting the Jets, week 8 at Detroit, and week 11 hosting the Vikings. We'll
what
keep
up,
updated.
Yo?
We'll keep you updated with any more Titan schedule leaks as those start to come out. Non-Titan schedule leak, but Ravens-Texans on Christmas Day.
Hmm.
That's a good one.
That's going to be
a good one, juicy little game. Mm-hmm. Okay, coming up next, we bring up how the Titans have gotten a little bit more depth at certain positions. One NFL insider thinks the Titans might not need as much depth as they have at one certain position. We'll get into that coming up next, and of course, your thoughts as well. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Body was just to see him healthy. I know he's had a lot of knickknacks and different injuries. How different is it to see him healthy?
It's always valuable when the guys are healthy, you know. They get a chance to really lean into the work. They can really improve. It's hard sometimes when you're injured to learn and then not be able to do. And so being healthy allows you to take all the things that we talk about and be able to go on the grass and execute it. So that part's a huge advantage. So guys, when you get an offseason where you're healthy, you can really make strides and really improve. And I think we'll see that.
That was Titans head coach Brian Callahan on Treylon Burks. All right.
Hanging with my I like that.
Okay.
You want to know a quick story to that? My niece, I guess they had a trip to the Music City Country Music Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
So I guess when you go there, there's a area where you can like write your own lyrics and then they put them into a song. So her friend and two of her friends wrote the lyrics to this song.
This song?
Yeah, this song right
no
here.
No way.
Yes, they're like 8, 9 years old, these kids. So they wrote this song at the Music City Country Music Hall of Fame.
Did you send this to Nick?
Yeah, I sent it to Nick this morning.
No way. She's a songwriter in the making.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm going to keep this one.
You should. You can keep her around. Well, it's great. If you're listening, it's
Lennon,
a great song.
Yes.
It's a great song. But that was Brian Callahan on Treylon Burks' offseason, but staying healthy, how beneficial that can be. And it is interesting. Whenever the Titans brought in Tyler Boyd, that sparked conversation among Titan fans, nationally, among us, of what does that mean for Treylon Burks? Bill Barnwell kind of broke down. Maybe that means Treylon Burks' best spot this upcoming season isn't with the Tennessee Titans. Because Bill Barnwell, of course, ESPN.com, NFL insider, wrote an article, and the headline is post-NFL draft trades signings that should happen. 10 deals. One deal that he writes about is the Steelers should trade for Titans wide receiver Treylon Burks. Bill Barnwell writes, another player buried on a depth chart, Burks has been a victim of unrealistic expectations and bad timing. The Titans essentially drafted him as the replacement for A.J. Brown. Isn't it essentially what happened? Like, that is what happened. They traded A.J. Brown and drafted him to be his replacement. But it says it hasn't panned out because of injuries to Burks and upheaval at quarterback. 5 different players have thrown him passes over his first 2 seasons. There's always a sense of hesitance from front offices to give up on a first-round pick so quickly, but the regime that drafted Burks is no longer in the building, as John Robinson was fired in 2022 before head coach Mike Vrabel was dismissed after last season. New GM Rand Carthon hasn't exactly hidden his feelings about Burks. He's signed 3 veteran wideouts in free agency over the past 12 months, bringing in DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, and Tyler Boyd. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine might be ahead of Burks at this point. So what do we think? A potential trade with the Steelers sending Treylon Burks to Pittsburgh.
I mean, listen, anything could happen in this sport. There can be trades, and we've seen trades. So I'm not going to say that he's totally off base with this, because obviously we're in this situation because Treylon hasn't, been available enough, and the production is just – it's too inconsistent at best. And I'm just being honest about it. As good as I think he can be, what I've seen of him – but the truth is, it's just been inconsistent. You hadn't been on the field long enough. And then when you have been on the field, there has been some inconsistencies with you catching the ball at times. But that doesn't mean, I don't think, you know, he still can have a role on this offense, a bigger role than what he's had the previous 2 seasons. So I don't see the need to trade Treylon, because if you trade him now, you're not going to get much for him. And it's just because, you know, the production is not there. Yes, he has a lot of potential, but the production, if I'm trading 3rd and 4th round picks, I want to see the production. Don't tell me about, you know, his ceiling, or, you know, he has all of these, you know, the talent is there. Don't tell me that. He hadn't shown it consistently. So I'm not giving you a 3rd, a 4th. A 5th, maybe 6th, yeah.
Well, that's Barnwell's proposal.
Exactly.
Barnwell's proposal is really eye-opening to me, because I think Barnwell is pretty good.
Yeah.
I tend to side with D-Mace. I'd rather keep and hope that there's still time for him to turn into a good player. You're starting to worry, right? You're starting to have some doubts, but I'm not giving up. And you're also hedging your bets because you brought in Boyd, you brought in Ridley, and so you're not just, you know, leaving a wide open space. Here, Treylon, go out. This is the space. Make some mistakes. You're in there. They've gone a different approach now. Now it's like you got to find your way. You got to butt your way in there.
Yeah.
Like you said the other day, ignore all the other things going around you and just focus on being a good player, and eventually it will take care of itself. Yeah. They'll get you on the field. They'll get you in there. So Barnwell says, if now he points out, this is again going back to our discussion earlier about Askarov and how a first round pick and the investment in a first round pick in the NHL
it's different
than the NFL, where They paid Burks up top as a first-round pick. There's a bigger investment in money in a first-round pick. So it's like you want return on your investment. You really hope that he goes well. Barnwell is saying because the Titans still owe him $8 million guaranteed over the next two seasons, that in order for this deal to happen, the Titans have to eat $6 million of what's left on Burks' deal just to get a sixth-rounder back.
And not even a sixth-rounder, a 2026 sixth-rounder.
So we're talking about 2 years from now.
2 years in the future, so, and you eat the money?
So what?
Hell no!
How do I come out on top on that if I'm the Titans? I think I'd much rather just say, look, I hope the kid still has a chance. Like, I'm sure Barnwell, and I think he makes this point, Rand Carthon did not draft Burks, right? So it's easier for that GM to say, that's not my pick. I'm not as invested. I don't have as much of a vested interest because I can just say, look, I'm trying to clean up this mess, man. He's not my pick. But I hope they've seen enough flashes of brilliance, just little sparks here and there, little signs that he can still be a good player. But the money does come into play, right?
Yes.
It's more so than just anybody.
But it's not enough. You know, $8 million over the next 2 years. So let's just say to make it even $4 million this year, $4 million next year. That's not a big enough number to scare me away to say, okay, we're not. We'll take whatever back in compensation that we can get just because we want him off of our books.
But I would play the other side of the coin though. This is where you have to get into the salary cap stuff. Is a fourth wide receiver, which on the depth chart right now he would be the fourth wide receiver who doesn't play special teams. Barnwell makes this point, right? You don't pay. You don't pay that much money to that guy. That's a league minimum $1-2 million guy, right? Ideally. Now this is where this is a rebuilding year, so I'm willing to keep investing in Burks and keep him. But I see his point, right? Because he makes a lot more than your that's not good managing of assets if you're paying $8 million over the next 2 years for a fourth wide receiver, which is where he is right now. That's the dilemma.
Yeah, it is a dilemma. But I don't look at it because, I've been in these situations. So I don't look at it as, oh, he's the fourth or fifth wide receiver. Because technically, I mean, yes, but no. And I say that for this reason. Because teams play so much three wide receiver sets, Callahan has already told us, Traylon, we are asking him to learn every position. X, H, Z, or X, Y, Z, whatever you want to, however they, you know, label that slot guy. Some people do it the Y, some people do it in an H or a name or something, you know, give it another letter. Exactly. So what Brian is telling you is, listen, yeah, y'all are looking at it totally wrong. He's the fourth, but he's really not the fourth because we're going to make sure that this kid knows every position that, you know, if D-Hop, because the Titans rotate their receivers, they rotate their, and which I hate, but they do it, and I get it. They rotate their guys in and out, in and out, in and out. So Traylon is going to play. If he shows anything in the preseason, he's going to play a lot. This is not about him being a fourth wide receiver or the fifth or the third. He's going to play a lot. Why is he going to play a lot? Because he's going to spell Ridley. When he needs two or three plays or he goes down, he's the first one up. D-Hop goes down, he's the first one up. Not Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, not Tyler Boyd to shift him outside. Tyler Boyd will play the slot. That's it. He won't play outside. And this is why I look at it totally different from being, oh, he's the fourth wide receiver, so he needs to play special teams. Not necessarily. He doesn't. And they're asking him to learn all these positions because of that. Because he doesn't play special teams, we need to get him on the field to see. So, D-Hop, you need a break. Traylon, get in there. All right, Calvin, you're coming out. D-Hop, you come back in. Traylon, you go over to the Z now. They're going to try to keep him in the game. He's going to spell these other guys, which, in theory, yes, he is the fourth, but he's really not the fourth.
But
because
but
he's the guy that you pick.
But the
you
real
put in
thing
all
is,
those.
You want him to eventually.
So he's going to get. That's what I'm saying. That $4 million don't mean anything to me.
And hopefully with those reps, he shows that he's going to blow by one of those guys.
Exactly.
At least Boyd in time, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's the real answer is, where is he going to be in 2 years? Can he take a step forward That's the only reason you would keep him, because he's because you have a at $8 million over the next 2 years. You're still hoping that he gets to a level, because you can use Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to be that role that you're talking about. Spell this guy, spell that guy. Go with
but he doesn't
you can
have
find
the
other guys for a lot less.
He doesn't have the explosiveness
right,
of trading.
This guy has, you've been saying all along, he's got tools. You hope that it's just taking him longer to have everything come together, connecting all the dots, understanding everything, and staying out there and not getting hurt. That's maybe the biggest.
The $4 million that you're paying for is not for a fourth receiver. You're paying the $4 million because you see potential.
Exactly. Yes.
You're paying the $4 million
exactly.
for the
you
hope
want him
that
to pass up Boyd.
Something.
You want him to pass up an aging Boyd. Maybe not
no,
week
no, no.
one.
You want him,
you want him,
want
to,
him
be better.
To pass up
D-Hop.
Sure.
And Boyd for this
I
reason.
I love the sound of
because
that.
Because these two
it.
Guys are on one-year deals now.
Yes.
So you got to try to set this up. That's why he's going to be in the rotation a lot, because they need to find out if he can play. Because, again, next year, this receiving core will look a little different. Mm-hmm. Part of me believe if D-Hop has another good season, they're going to try to re-sign him to a two-year deal. That's a part of me believes that, because that's the same thing that happened to me in Baltimore. So I'm sort of putting the two together. But
I can see a path where that happens.
Yeah, that's
totally.
What I'm saying. So, but if that doesn't happen, you got two guys that are going to be exiting your rotation. So you need to find out if Trailing can be that guy. That's why we're having him play all positions, because we don't – two of these positions might be available next year. One, I think, will be available, but both may be available. And I need to see if he can handle the workload of knowing all three. If he can handle the workload of knowing all three, when we segue out of the two – D-Hop and Tyler Boyd, because of expiring contracts, not because they can't play, because of expiring contracts, then you're able to slip Trailing in there. That's why he's playing all these positions, because they know next year, like, they don't need Trailing to be, you know, 800-900 yards. They don't.
That'd be great.
If they can get, in his role, if they can get high five, 600, maybe five touchdowns, that's good, because now
maybe some
we,
good yards
yeah,
per
now
catch
we
number.
See efficiency. That okay, now if we slide you into the two, you can go at the two.
Can you stay healthy?
Stay healthy?
That's another
that's
thing they've got to find out.
Question 1A is, can you stay healthy? And my thing right now is this deal proposed by Bill Barnwell, if the Titans eat $6 million of what's left in Burks' $8 million deal, you get a 2026 sixth round pick in return.
That sounds great.
That's
for the Steelers.
Absurd.
Yeah, sounds great for the Steelers.
That sounds like
they
I'm a Steeler guy looking at it from the Steelers.
They would have fleeced somebody else. They
I'll take him for nothing.
The Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I'll take him
they
for
just
nothing.
Got there.
Literally pay him nothing and give up nothing in exchange for him.
Come on.
While I don't have high expectations for Burks, just because I can't let myself have high expectations for Burks based on him not being able to stay on the field over the last 2 years, I still have a glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
A glimmer of hope, and I see the potential in what he can become. So you're going to have to sweeten the pot a whole lot more than a 2026 sixth-round pick and me having to eat the cash. I'm not eating the cash. If Treylon Burks was a problem and you just want to get him out of your locker room, I get it. Mm-hmm. But everything that I've heard, Treylon Burks is absolutely not a problem in the locker room. I'll hold on to him if all it's going to cost me is $4 million this year. I want to get into your thoughts on this. We've got a bunch of phones, so we are right to you coming up next, talking Treylon Burks, talking NFL schedule leaks. Again, so far we know that the Titans will play at home against the Jets in week 2, on the road at Detroit in week 8, and then week 11 hosting the Minnesota Vikings. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Right to you coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We'll catch up with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow in 10 minutes. But now we are talking Treylon Burks. Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com had 10 proposed trades that he thinks should happen in the offseason. One of those being the Titans should trade Treylon Burks to the Steelers. And when it comes to any proposed trade, my question is always going to be, what are you going to get in return? Bill Barnwell says, well, if the Titans eat $6 million of the $8 million remaining on his deal, they might could get a 2026 sixth round pick. Yeah,
six
no thanks.
Of the eight, good lord.
If you're offering me,
keep them.
Yeah, exactly. If you're offering me a 2025 third, now we're talking.
Yeah,
okay. Now we can talk.
It does sort of illustrate, like, I wonder if anybody else would think you could actually get more. Because I do think sometimes it's easy from where we sit here to say, well, Burks was the first-round pick. Maybe we'll trade him. What could we get? Mm-hmm. And the answer might come back as something a lot higher than a sixth-rounder where you pay three-quarters of the remaining money.
Yeah.
Does that? That's a little bit of a shock to the system to some, right?
Yeah.
But it does illustrate he doesn't really have any trade value.
That's a fair point.
That would mean a desperate team. If you're getting more than a fifth or sixth, I would even say more than a
I could see a fifth. Maybe
anything
a fifth.
More than a fifth is a shot.
It's a stretch.
You're looking at it. Whoever gives up more than a fifth, and again, this when I say this, it's not because I'm saying it because I don't think Trenton can play. I think he can, but he hasn't shown anything right now. Mm-hmm. So if you get more than a fifth round pick for him, then I'm sure the Titans would look seriously into doing that. But if you're getting less than that, then there's no need to, especially if I got to take on a contract too. Mm-hmm. No, I might as well just keep them and try to make it work out.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's get into your thoughts on this. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland is on the line with a thought on Treylon Burks. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Caroline. So here's my problem with it, right? Like, I feel like we finally got one position checked off, and I'm seeing these forums everywhere. It's not just Burks. It's like, should we trade D-Hop? So, like, what? You're going to have to trade D-Hop. I'm like, you don't have to. I'm seeing
it
everywhere.
Who said the Titans
like,
should trade D-Hop?
I'm seeing, I promise y'all, so I'll forward you a post. But, like, it's almost like you finally got a position right. If you will remember, this, it just reminds me of 2021 when we were like, we had Julio, we had AJ, then we had Josh Reynolds was ticked off because he wasn't getting enough playing time. So they ship him out, right? Like, we're good to go. We already got these two. They both get hurt. And then you have Marcus Johnson, whoever the hell that is, Chester Rogers. So, and then they both get hurt. Johnson had one good game, and then he gets hurt. Then we're like, okay, Des Fitzpatrick, like, you want to start? Like, and it, we had no business, like, Racy McMath. Like, we're sitting here waiting on, like, you finally got a position right. Don't start shucking it out. People get hurt. All these dudes are old or on old contracts or whatever or short contracts. Like, just finally be good with one position. I would not start shipping anybody out.
It's always a good day when you can talk about Chester Rogers and Racy McMath. And thank you for calling.
Racy McMath. And I held out hope for Racy McMath. Just didn't do it.
Just didn't happen. It's like whenever you've had only like crappy boyfriends in the past and then you find a really great one and you're like, well, something's up. So I've got to just go ahead and ruin this and break off with this guy. You finally feel like you have really good depth and experience at a position group that, frankly, the Titans just haven't had in a really long time. Unless what you would get in return would be so great that you can't pass it up. I don't see why. D-Hop, either that is the craziest thing that I've heard. I don't know why you would ever consider moving on from D-Hop. But unless the return that you could get for a Burks is so great that you can't pass it up and is much more valuable than what Treylon Burks could potentially become, or what you think is in the realm of possibility of what Treylon Burks can become, you don't do that move.
No, you don't. The only way I could see them trading D-Hop is if they're into the season and the season's not going well and another team needs a wide receiver desperately because theirs got hurt, their one or two got hurt, then there's a possibility. But other than that, I don't see them trading D-Hop, especially not to a team within the AFC at least. You know, you have Adam is right. For the first time in a long time, you have a stable, it seems to look as if you have a stable receiving core. And they haven't had this in a while, at least to my knowledge, because when I left, I was still playing. So I don't know how the receiver core, I know individuals like Nate and guys like that did well, but I don't know their core as a whole, how good they were. But this may be the best core of top three, top four, top five guys they've had in a long time. All five of those guys have experience playing games, playing meaningful games, making big catches, from the first three to Treylon Burks and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. So they have the experience. Now, Treylon lacks, he's the least of the experienced ones, but they still have guys that have made plays in this league. So this receiving core is, to my knowledge, the best receiving core they've had in a very long time. So why would you look to move away from anybody, especially now? Let it play out and see what happens. And if you get into, you know, trade deadline and some things are going on, then that's when you make a decision like that. But not now. Yeah.
Trent Texan says, what about D-Hop? He has 1 year left on his contract, and Boyd signed a one-year deal. If Levis has a great season, how would you approach that wide receiver crew?
And that's what we talked about earlier. Yeah. It's
I think that's a very important question long-term. And that's why I say that when the schedule comes out today, and if you get excited and say, well, maybe they can go 9-8, well, if you don't have D-Hop and you don't have Boyd next year, well, then what are you doing, right? Then what's the plan there? They're going to be a year older. Maybe you bring them back, but that's an important question.
Yeah, it is. I think I predict one of the two may come back, but be prepared for both of them to be gone. And it's not because I don't think they can play. It's just as you get older, if you still want to be paid the amount you're being paid, then some teams are like, nah, you know what, we're going to segue out of this. You know, you're getting a little bit older. Thank you for your, you know, for all the time, but we're going in another direction. So to me, this is going to be critical moving forward because you're going to have to replace at least one person, maybe two, because maybe training doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. You possibly may have to replace 3 to 4 receivers next year. Just think about that. Boyd, Hop, Burks, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. You may have to find 4 new receivers next year because the only guy that's truly under contract is Calvin Ridley. Mm-hmm.
And Burks.
Burks, yes, but if he doesn't play well, I don't expect them to hold on to him for another year. So you really have 3 guys that are on expiring contracts right now. So you need to find out if these guys can play, and you need to find out if this thing is going to work and work fast.
We'll get into all of this with Jonathan Hutton. He will join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.